Our study tonight is out of Ezra chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, being used of God for making ourselves useful to Him. There's a Christian song titled, To Be Used of God, and it upholds the great privilege the believer has to be used of the Lord in His service, and it offers great hope that God might use the believer in effective service. After all, God didn't save us just so we can sit here and bide our time until the rapture of the church. He wants us to use, be active serving the Lord. We studied this in the adult Sunday school class this morning out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul says, therefore, I want you to be comforted with the true eschatology on the rapture so that you may be established in every word and deed, in every word and work. God wants us to be serving Him. However, to be effectively used of the Lord Jesus results in part from one's making himself useful to the Lord. That's a lesson that's found in Ezra chapter 7, 1 to 10 for our insight, our instruction, and our blessing as follows. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezra chapter 7, verse 1 and following. Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, of Shalem, Zadok, Ahitub, Amariah, Azariah, Mariot, Zerahiah, Uzi, Buki, Abishua, Phinehas, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priests. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God that was upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, the Nethinim, unto Jerusalem, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. The Nethinim would be the temple servants, incidentally. And verse 8, he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. And for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God that was upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach Israel's statutes and judgments. Okay. Ezra chapter 7, 1 to 7 reveals how a second wave of Hebrew exiles in Persia returned to Jerusalem under a scribe by the name of Ezra. He was a descendant of Aaron, Moses' brother, and Israel's first high priest. So he was right in line to be the high priest. Now, this man was significantly used of God in helping to establish a spiritually renewed nation with the returning exiles. And we read this in verses 6 through 9. First, in Ezra chapter 7, the last part of verse 6, explains that the Persian king, Artaxerxes, granted Ezra all that he requested for his wave of Hebrew exiles to return to Israel because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Did you notice that? The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God that was upon him. That's amazing. This is a king who has complete sovereignty over these subjects. But Ezra had requested the king, I want this, this, and this, and the king gave him absolutely everything he wanted because God was working in this king's heart to open his heart. So God obviously was promoting Ezra and pushing him and giving him every opportunity to serve him, which is tremendous. Second, these provisions from Artaxerxes doubtless encouraged those of the priests, the Levites, temple worship singers, gatekeepers, and temple servants to return with him as in Ezra 7:7. And you notice it says, and there went up some of the children of Israel, and the priests, the Levites, the singers, the porters, the servants unto Jerusalem. So here's this man, he has tremendous favor from the king. He's got all of these goods. He's got a lot of gold and silver from the temple and so forth. And it's very easy for people to gravitate around him because he's got the king's blessing. He's got all these provisions the king has granted him. So people say, sure, we'll go with you. Why not? And this man has the blessings of the king. Third, because God's hand of safety was upon the group, they made the trip from Babylon to Jerusalem in 4 months safely, regardless of their lack of an accompanying protective guard of troops, as follows. Ezra 7, verses 8 and 9, notes that the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem lasted from March 27 to July 24 in 457. And that happens to be 4 months of travel time, according to the Jewish calendar. The journey is about 900 miles. So since the trip would have been about 900 miles long, Ezra's group covered about 7.5 miles a day across the territory, where they were largely susceptible to attack by marauding bands because they were not sufficiently armed even to protect their goods and families. 7.5 miles is roughly the distance from our church to downtown Torrington. All right? And remember, this is a group that is going. They've got women and children, little children and so forth. They have no protective guard. Now, in this country, we would never think of a problem of just a family going out with children and so forth because you have police protection and so forth. Those days, they didn't have that. You had to provide your own protection. Otherwise, you were wide open for marauding bands to come through and they could just pillage and do whatever they wanted and take whatever they wanted and away they went. Now, this man didn't have any protection, and there's a reason for it. If you switch over to the next chapter, Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 and following, 21, 22, and 23, you'll see why they didn't have any protective help. In verse 21, when I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right or a safe way for us and for our little ones and for all our goods. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had told the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against them that forsake him. See, he'd already gone out on a limb, said, well, God is going to protect us because God's going to bless us because we're doing that which is right, and he's going to damage and hurt those who come against us to attack us. So he didn't ask for a guard. And afterwards he was thinking, you know, I should have asked for a guard. It's great. Yes, we know the Lord's going to take care of us, but just in case. But they didn't do that. So he said, well, I want to protect my testimony, so whatever, we're not going to take a guard. We're not going to ask a guard from the king. We're just going to go on faith. So these people launched out 7.5 miles a day for 4 months. And you know what? The hand of his God was with them, and they made it. Nobody attacked them, even though they were wide open. It's amazing. See, chapter 8 goes into detail about the trip, where chapter 7, verses 1 to 10, just summarizes it very, very quickly. So God's protection went with Ezra so his party could make the trip in safety. Okay, God's help was with this man. He's moving in the king's heart. He's giving him protection on the way. He's got a following of people. Why would God so open a door for this man? Why did he want to use a man like him? So I got to study in these verses, chapter 7, 1 to 10, to find out what about Ezra made him someone that God wanted to use. And I was amazed at how hard this man had worked at making himself useful. God is a very practical God. He's kind of like an employer. You want to get employed in a job, the employer says, okay, what do you have to offer me that will make my employing you worthwhile for my business? How can it help me turn even more of a profit than what I got? God's pretty much the same way. Okay, what do you have to offer? What do you got? What do you got going for you? God is very much that way. Ezra had accepted his calling. So he had accepted his calling and he had developed his skills to perform God's calling for him. This comes out in verses 1 through 6. Ezra had been born into the Aaronic line, assigned thus of God by way of his birth the calling of being a priest, who was supposed to handle and teach God's word to Israel's people. Remember, we read in verses 1 through 6 how he was in the line of the priests. Now, he could have said, so what if I'm born into the line of the priests? I want to be a carpenter. Or, so what if I've been born in the line of priests? I want to be a soldier. I want to ride a horse. But no, I'm born into the line of priests. God wants me to be a priest. So I'm going to be a priest. And Malachi chapter 2, Malachi 2, verse 7 tells us what a priest's job basically is. That verse says, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. The people should seek to understand what the law is as he teaches it. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The priest's job is to get to know his Bible and then to teach it. It's pretty much like a pastor today. He's supposed to get in the word, get to know it, and teach it so that he can teach the people around him so that they can follow the Lord and God can bless them in their lives. So that's basically what he did. So Ezra had accepted his personal assignment, submitted to being educated as a priest. That's why in verse 6, the first part of the verse says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe. The King's English, the word ready means that he was a man who was skilled as a scribe. He was taught. He had submitted to being taught. You know, that's very, very important. We have to understand, what has God allowed me to be born with? What has He gifted me with when I became born again? We all have spiritual gifts. It's amazing how this matches what we were talking about in the morning worship service this morning. We all have been given spiritual gifts. What we're supposed to do is to fan into flame the gift that God has given us. If it's a teaching gift, fine. If it's a giving gift, fine. If it's showing mercy, if it's motivation, if it's helps, whatever that gift is, God wants us to fan it in the flame. This man's assignment, his gifting, was being a teacher. Okay, I'm going to submit to being taught as a teacher. Now, Ezra further excelled in his calling as a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, according to the New International Version. The word teacher is from the Hebrew word soper, and it referred to a learned man who could read and write and teach what he had read. Then the expression well-versed in the King New International Version comes from the word machir, and it is rendered skillful in Psalm 45, verse 1. So beyond being educated in the law so he could teach it to others, Ezra had exercised himself to be highly skilled in handling the law. I chose to do this when I was in seminary. There are two ways to go to seminary. You can go through seminary just trying to get nothing but the highest grades, so you pick the easier subjects. But I knew that that wasn't going to help me that much in this pastorate. I wanted to last in the pastorate for a minimum of 50 years if the Lord should so tarry. So I selected subjects that would allow me and give me the training so that I could do independent research and Bible study. And then I selected a library that would go with that. And I'm very glad to this day that we did that. So in Bible college, we majored in Bible exposition, minored in Greek. In seminary, we majored in systematic theology, but minored in Semitic languages, which included Hebrew and Aramaic. Hard courses. But nevertheless, I thank God for that, because it's allowed me the opportunity to do some in-depth study that I couldn't do if I didn't have that. And that's what this man did. He versed himself. He became skillful, though. He got his doctorate, so to speak. He went the extra mile. And that's a real something that motivates me, to go the extra mile in the studies. Don't just be satisfied with just whipping out a sermon. Dig, get the content out for the people of God. Further, Ezra had devoted himself to the study and the observance of the law of the Lord. You notice verse 10, for this Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach it in Israel, its statutes and its judgments. The word devoted himself literally is translated, he set his heart firmly, and it gives the idea that Ezra was inwardly determined. This was not a man who was just going to have a great education, be very skilled, and just sit on it. He wanted to do something with it. He wanted to teach, and he wanted to make other people skilled in understanding the law and applying it in their lives. Now, these characteristics happen to be present, and they're supposed to be present in Bible teachers and pastors in today's church, and you can apply this in the New Testament era as well, not only to pastors, but to any Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul told Timothy, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you fan into flame, or that you stir up the spiritual gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound or a logical mind. So Timothy was supposed to fan into flame his gift from God, to use it to the full in service. That means develop it. Train. I took 10 years of education in Bible college and seminary helping to develop. And then since then, there's been practice for 33, 34 years of practicing sermons and so forth. But you know, God wants every Christian to do that. We all have gifts. Use it. Practice it. Work at it. Develop it. Get some education. And then Timothy was to give himself fully to godly living in the ministry of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12, let no man look down on you because you are young, but be an example of the believers in word and manner of life and love and spirit and faith and moral excellence. Till I come, give attendance to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Stop neglecting the spiritual gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to everyone. Take heed unto yourself and to the teaching. Continue in them, or actually exist in them. For in doing this, you'll both salvage yourself and them that hear you. Did you notice about four times there he says, be in it, stay in it, stick with it. This should be your life. And this is something, every time I read this, this challenges me. The Lord says, Don, are you living it? Are you living the pastorate? Are you focusing on it? And often the Lord has led me, even tonight, when I go home tonight, I'll probably do just a little bit of reading, getting ready for the Mary Martha series that we're going to start next. Because there's a tremendous amount of content in that. But that's what we're supposed to be doing, giving ourselves wholly to it. God doesn't want us just to bide our time until the rapture. He wants us to be active in serving him. So the lesson is, as Ezra accepted God's call that he be a priest, as he yielded to the training and knowing and teaching Scripture to the point of becoming skilled at it, and as he was further fully devoted to that call, God used and blessed him as his effective servant in developing a redeveloping Israel. So in application, may we make ourselves spiritually useful to God by accepting his gifting and his assignment for us, by developing that gift to the point of becoming skilled at it, and by being deeply devoted to that calling. The Lord can and will use us effectively for his glory. I never cease to be amazed at how the Lord times events that happen in our lives. He timed a beautiful event that I had today in the fellowship hall following the morning service that happens to illustrate this lesson beautifully. I got to talking with Kathleen. She's the lady in our church who is redoing our sign. You'll notice our sign has been taken down, but she's redoing it. And the sign is so big that she, and the type of paint that she's using is the paint that would run easily if she were painting in an upright position. So she has to put the sign down. And the sign is in Dave Slate's shop. Well, when you put the sign down, you have to lean over it. That's hard. It's hard for Kathleen, not only physically, but you remember because of the car accident that she's been through, and there's been some brain damage and so forth, it's very hard to stay at it. And she was telling me today that she actually has finished both sides of the sign, and now she's working on, there's a part that hangs down, another, and she's going to be starting on that. But she was sharing that she had to use, and she's had to use just about all of the training that she's had. And she has had formal training in art school in order to do this sign, because there's some engraving work. You have to paint within it. She didn't want the paint pooling and so forth. But she had to work very hard. But leaning over this sign, it was very difficult. And she got to the point where she couldn't stand more than an hour. And she said, at one point, I was wondering if I would actually be able to finish it because of the hindrance, the injury that I've had. But she said, you know what? I made myself say, look, just come out here and do it an hour at a day. I don't know if I can get much done, but I'm going to do an hour a day. So she started to do that. In a couple of weeks, she had one side done. Turned it over and did the same thing. Just 1 hour a day. That's all she could emotionally handle, physiologically handle with the injury and so forth. And she's doing a great job. So this made me appreciate, when that sign gets up, I'm going to look at it with a lot of respect, and not only because of the beauty of the sign, because I know she does excellent work as an artist, but knowing the spiritual pilgrimage that she has gone through just to put that together and how it's been a growth experience for her, I thought, you know, tonight I've got to share this in this illustration. This is basically what Ezra was doing. He was taking all of his information, he was working himself to the fullest, he was committed, as Kathleen was, just committed to do the best that she could, maybe just an hour a day, but that's it. But that's what God's looking for. And when that sign gets up, I'm going to value it very highly because it was done gratis for us as a church. And you know, if we had to hire that out, it would be pricey to have an artist redo that. But she's done and doing a great job. But she's doing it as unto the Lord, and it's become an expression of her relationship with Christ. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to give ourselves fully to it. And because someday when we stand before the Lord, we're going to stand before his judgment seat and we're going to give an account for what we've done with our lives. And he wants to be able to tell each of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of our Lord. So may God motivate us and encourage us to develop the skills that he has given us, the spiritual gift that he has given us, to practice at it, and to be as committed to have our hearts set firmly on serving the Lord this way. And may the Lord bless us as we do so.